You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Hi, I'm Cindy, compulsive overeater, recovering anorexic, and thank you for asking me to speak. Glad to be here. And I first got into OA in June of 1994, and they talk about what it used to be like and what happened, what it's like now. I came in through a treatment center for anorexia. And at the time I was in high school, I was a teenager, and they told me about OA. And so I agreed to go and I got a sponsor right away, started working the steps. So, and it's helped a lot. So I didn't have to do the whole scenario again, with the eating disorder. And because I know I needed something to change, and I just picked the wrong solution. And, you know, what it used to be like was I had a good family. They cared. They also had very high expectations. And with academics and religion and anything that we did or said, and it felt like I had to be an example at all times, whether to people who were not in the church or not in the family or not in the, I felt like I needed to be the example all the time, which is hard to be because if you're human, sometimes you don't act like the example all the time. Although I usually tried to. And it's interesting because in OA and the other 12-step programs, they talk about character defects or old patterns, and that perfectionism is one of them. And it always surprised me that some of what I was brought up to think were virtues turned out to be character defects. Because, you know, perfectionism, workaholism, people pleasing, approval seeking, I thought those were all good things. Codependency, you know, not in those words, but I thought those concepts were good things. And it talks about, you know, us being afraid to give up character defects. Well, I was afraid to give them up because I thought they made me a good person. And if I let them go, I would be this mean, rampaging person. You know, it's not true, but that was the stinking thinking. So to start with, I struggled with depression as a kid and anxiety. I didn't know it was depression. I just thought that's the way things were. And I thought that there was something wrong with me, that I was solo, like on the playground and stuff. And I was like, why am I solo? There must be something wrong with me, blah, blah, blah. I don't really think there was something wrong with me that I was solo. I think I was scared to ask to play and or afraid of rejection. And also I was trying to follow all the rules all the time. It turned out there were certain toys and certain games that I would find out that our family wasn't allowed to play. So I wasn't sure whether I was supposed to join in with other kids, because I would find out later, oh, we don't play that, or we don't do that. And it wasn't necessarily anything bad. It was just like certain types of toys that had to do with my family's version of religion. They said, "Well, we don't play with them," even though other people in the same religion didn't have a problem with it necessarily. This is like a subsection. And so I really didn't like being told after the fact that we don't do XYZ. I didn't like the shame. So I just tended to sit things out if I wasn't sure. And so I wasn't, angry or whatever. I just wasn't the happiest camper. But I couldn't figure out why. And I went to a religious school until I was an eighth grader. And I had a few friends, but not a lot of them. And it was in the mid-90s, and there was a lot of talk going around about everybody's weight needing to be low.
That's 5 minutes.
Thank you. 5 minutes. Adults also. And I didn't have a problem with weight and health, stuff like that. But I thought that I did, because I thought all the people whose weight is low are happy. So if I'm not happy, my weight must not be low enough. And later I found out I was just like them, basically. But I thought I was average, and which I sort of was, small end of average. And if I just got low enough, my weight low enough, my personality would change. I would come out of the corner and everything would be great. And so I started a very harsh and brutal eating disorder. I didn't know it was an eating disorder. I knew it was something weird, but I thought with the desperation that I had to do something major. Whatever was keeping me in the corner, I was going to burn it away. And I thought it was my body. No, it wasn't my body, but I didn't know that. And I got sick real fast. And I was given a medical food plan to follow, and I couldn't follow it. And I got some ultimatums, and I couldn't follow them. And I wound up in a hospital program. I didn't want to go, and it was a doctor's idea. You have to go. I didn't want to go. And the program that I went to had a lot of 12-step influence. And they encouraged me, you need to turn things over to your higher power, and things will be better. And when I got out, I had been abstinent for maybe a week or two when I found OA. And I came out, and they said, "Well, why don't you try OA?" And I said, "What's that?" And they're like, "It's a 12-step program for people with food problems." I said, "Okay." So I started to go. I got a sponsor right away, maybe on week two. And it was a women's meeting, and they were reading from the little For Today book. And one thing I noticed was, I mean, the women were all different ages and different sizes and all that, and that didn't matter. What mattered was they had peace in their eyes, because I didn't have peace. And I thought, you could do that. They're older than me. They have more responsibility than me, and they're not freaking out all the time. How is that possible? Because my family were good people, but they were stressing out a lot. So I thought, if I'm this stressed out as a teenager, the more responsibilities, I'll just get more and more and more of them. The backpack will keep getting heavier forever. I won't be able to carry it. And the backpack of expectation. And I saw them, and I was like, wow, they really are trusting their higher power. Because the concept of higher power that I had was that higher power was good, but I owed him, and I'm using the pronoun him because I grew up with that, not because I necessarily think that there's a pronoun that fits it now, but that it was expectations. Higher power was a ton of expectations. Cindy, you need to do A, you need to do B, you need to do C. After all I did for you, Cindy, why aren't you doing more? And that's when I was a teenager. What was going to happen when I was an adult? And it's funny because I'm 43 now, and it's funny because I don't think that God or higher power expects nearly as much stuff from me now as my concept of God did when I was a teenager, when I came into OA. So I have less quote unquote responsibility now, which is good. I do have more responsibilities now, obviously, but not like that. Not where I had to basically do God's work for him. And was constantly letting him down no matter what I did, and feeling ashamed. I even felt ashamed for having the eating disorder because I thought I made him look bad. Anybody knows I'm following him. Who's going to want to follow him if the person who's following him has eating disorder? I'm going to make him look bad. So I was ashamed all the time, which no. And I know now that that's not what higher power is about at all, shaming people who need help. And when I got in, I did step one, and step one was not a problem. Maybe we were powerless over
That's
food.
10 minutes. 10
Ten,
minutes up.
thank you. That our lives have become unmanageable. Check, no problem. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Yes. And I saw that it had done so for other members of OA with no matter what form of the disease they had. Whether it was anorexia or bulimia or compulsive overeating or exercise, any of them, some of them had all of them, and higher power had restored them. I was like, well, then it'll work for me. It worked for them. And then a step three, made a decision, turned our will and our lives over to the care. The care? What? Of God, that as we understood him, no, he was supposed to be harsh on me. Otherwise, he'd let me get away with stuff. Care. It's not supposed to happen. So I was like, sure, well, why not? You know, it's way better than following this eating disorder. Because I didn't want to die. See, I knew it was a possibility. I didn't really want to go. I just wanted things to change. And so following higher power, I was so thrilled to find out there was a way you could follow higher power that wasn't just piling up a load of expectations on your back. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Initially, when I did my first step four, and my sponsor was very gentle and everything, step four and five, I was afraid that when I found out I had pride, it scared me, even though I still had it. But when I found out I had it, I thought that meant I was in danger from God because God doesn't like prideful people and he destroys them. That's what I thought. And I was like, what do I do now? I just found out I'm God's enemy. I don't want to be in danger. And that, which was kind of hilarious thing to say, because why would higher power save my life only to destroy me later when I found out I had pride when he knew I had it all along? It makes sense. Then I found out everybody had it. I was like, oh, good. At least it's not just me. Oh, step five, four and five. I mean, I've done a number of fourth and fifth steps, giving my inventory away. And every time I've done it, something big has changed. Getting all those old ideas and old things out of the way, grudges and fear and all that stuff. Even if it's not just stuff I've done. I hadn't done all that much. I mean, I've done more now, but hadn't done all that much when I came in. But it was still enough to cause problems because I had all this fear and resentments and stuff. It was enough to cause that eating disorder. I didn't have to have done a bunch of stuff to have caused it. And so it really helped to talk to someone else who had it too, about my fourth and fifth step. Now, step six and seven about those character defects, CD collection, I call them CD character defects. And I like where it says in the book that the character defects are just instincts that got cranked all the way up. And that sometimes they're assets that just got turned the wrong direction. And that there's nothing wrong with them the way they're supposed to be used. But we cranked him all the way up. like my desire to be perfect. Okay, no, that's not going to work. To do a good job, that's fine. You know, I try to do my best. All right, that's good. And I had a sponsor once who said, you know, when you ask your higher power to remove a character defect, ask him to replace it with its opposite. Like pride, ask him for humility. Fear, ask him for faith. Low self-esteem, which I had a lot of, you know, replace with self-worth. Oh, okay. And so that helped a lot. And I try and pray the third and the seventh step prayer every day. Because a few years ago, somebody suggested that I do it. So I started doing it and it's helped a lot before I go to work or whatever. And steps eight and nine, I didn't love making amends. Obviously, it's not, you know, the greatest for my ego to say, oh, you know, I apologize for doing X, Y, Z and trying to, you know, here's how I'm going to fix it. But I was thrilled that there was going to be a step nine because I didn't think that once I said the wrong thing by accident, that there was any way of changing it. I thought that was just the end of the friendship or whatever. It's just the end. You just never say anything.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Thank you. And, you know, so I was afraid to say anything a lot of the times because I didn't think there's any way to correct it if you say the wrong thing. So if it's got to be perfect. You know, I talk a lot now, but I didn't used to talk very much because I was always censoring everything I said. And step nine has helped me out a lot. And the honesty of, you know what, I did X, Y, Z, and I didn't mean to hurt you. And I want to fix it. And here's how. And step 10, you know, a lot of times something will pop up like during the day. And instead of running to the eating disorder, I say, you know what, I'm angry that so-and-so did X, Y, Z. I'm going to write about it, talk to my sponsor about it, see what positive action I can take. And it doesn't have to build up and become a big resentment. Or I don't have to do something weird with the food to make the feelings go away temporarily until they pop back up and the whole scenario starts over again. So yeah, step 10 is really handy to have. Step 11, I need to do more in the way of meditation. But sometimes even like thinking or looking at a picture of like puppies playing or like something in nature, like there's like, you know, there's a, you know, a dog that's taking care of a cat or something, like I feel like, well, you know, if they can be that kind to each other, I'm sure my higher power feels that way about us, you know, and that, you know, doing my higher power's will. I had a sponsor who said it's a win-win scenario. Higher power, God's will is a win-win scenario. Because I always thought it had to be bad for me and good for them to count as a good deed, like a sacrifice scenario. And they were like, no, you don't have to be a martyr. It's a win-win scenario. God's will is win-win for everybody. And step 12, when I came in, a lot of people carried the message to me. I didn't have transportation and people would give me rides to meetings. They took my outreach calls when I was freaking out. And I realized, wait, I don't have to be solo anymore. That there was even someone who let me call them at night and I, you know, late at night when I, you know, was panicking. And I was like, really? You could do that? And so I try to pay it forward now too, because they gave me hope when I was a scared little newcomer. And I want to be able to carry that forward to others. And thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Overeaters Anonymous podcast, hit the like button and subscribe to receive future episodes. If you are looking for a meeting online or in person, visit www.oamidpeninsula.org.